gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, to the Winter is Coming Game of Thrones podcast. We are Take the Black, and I'm your host, Razor. And I'm here with the usual suspects, the goddess herself, Isis, Corey Thone, Annie Bundle, and Corey Smith. We're all here to talk about Game of Thrones. We've taken a couple weeks off, but that's okay. We're back, and it's now time to have fun. But before we get started, since we have been off a couple of weeks, there's been some exciting news around the Fansided Network. And Annie, why don't you tell us all about that?
Okay, well, we just started a brand new website. It's called Culturist, and you can find us at culturist.com. And we're a brand new website that is for pop culture with a feminist and nerdy bent. And we talk about everything from books to celebrity and fashion, home and food, movies, music, sports, viral stuff, social progress, oh, and of course TV and Game of Thrones. In fact, today we even posted about Game of Thrones, and we wrote a little bit of fan fiction about what it would be like if Angela Lansbury was actually guest starring on Game of Thrones in the finale, and we imagined what a finale with the Murder, She Wrote would be like. So you should check it out. We're at culturist.com.
Anytime somebody mentions Game of Thrones fan fiction, I just imagine, like...
Well, I couldn't take it seriously. I mean,
like,
seriously.
Some kind of weird love triangle between Sweet Robin, Lord Robin of the Vale, and, like, Sansa, and maybe, like, Jon Snow.
Oh, we
like
actually did do an article triangle about that. We did an article where we talked about whether or not Jon Snow and Sansa are going to get together or not. Personally, I am
that.
Not a fan of that, but
not
a lot
it.
Of my writers are. So, you know, we had somebody come up and, you know, argue for. And I've told anybody who wants to come up and argue against and do the reverse is totally free to do so.
Cool. And we also have Isis writing for you as well, which is really cool.
Yes, she does our Outlander coverage. She actually did a wonderful post of covering the first two seasons of Outlander and all of the gorgeous costuming.
And it got into Entertainment Weekly.
Yes, it did. And Dan from WYC also writes for us. This is his chance not to write Game of Thrones stuff. So what did he choose to do? He chose to write RuPaul Drag Race recaps.
We love Dan so much. I love that he's got such an eclectic taste of viewing. All right. So let's get right into Game of Thrones. We've had some exciting news over the past couple of weeks since we've been off. We've got some exciting casting notes to talk about. But first, let's just get this out of the way. No, The Winds of Winter is not coming out. No, there is not an announce date. Do not trust ISBN numbers. Do not trust Amazon France. And do not trust Reddit. Those things are not going to happen.
Just don't trust France.
Don't.
I swear to God, you know what happened? They saw the ISBN number and they decided to have Amazon make the Amazon people were like, "We need you to make a placeholder page," and then someone accidentally let it go live. I swear that must have been what happened, because yeah, the date that they put in it, but the placeholder date, is a kind of date where if you were making an educated guess, this might be about the time it would come out. Like, it's sort of like when Razor does the guesses of what the titles will be for the upcoming season. Like, I sort of felt like that's what I was looking at when I looked at that.
Yeah, no, I thought it was perfect, too. It was a little too perfect. But, yeah, listen, guys, George R. R. Martin has said himself that when The Winds of Winter is finished, he will say it on his live journal, not a blog. He'll come out, he'll announce it, and that's when you will find out. You won't find out from a leak anywhere else. Of course, it is 2016, almost 2017. We're very close. So maybe somebody will find out and leak something. But until then, I wouldn't get your hopes up. Just go with what George R. R. Martin said and wait until he announces it on his live blog, on his not-a-blog live journal. Anyway, let's move on. Another thing that we can say is not happening, and maybe I'm to blame for this, but Angela Lansbury is not going to be joining Game of Thrones. Annie, please tell me how this happened.
So, a couple of weeks ago, Razor wrote a humor post in which he had a little adorable GIF that mashed up Murder, She Wrote with Game of Thrones and George R. R. Martin. And
it really is the best GIF ever.
It's really funny. And from what we can tell, via other language websites, then getting retranslated back into English, this kind of played a game of telephone from Angela Lansbury in a Game of Thrones gift to Angela Lansbury in Game of Thrones to Angela Lansbury in talks with Game of Thrones. Like, that's, yeah.
So, let me guess, the British rag that picked it up was Daily Mail.
No, actually, it was The Express. But, I mean, it was just one of those things where I was just like, I looked at this and I was like, are you serious? Am I really watching a game of telephone in real time? I really am. And the best part was when, you know, because I wrote about it a couple days ago on Wick. This morning it came to us on Culturist, and I was just like, are you kidding? It's literally come full circle. I've watched the entire thing come full circle. Of course, we had to not take it seriously. And
I love it.
You.
I love it. I'm starting rumors across the world. I am God. I'm kidding. Anyway, so we've got those things out. No, Winter Winter's not coming out. No, Angela Lansbury's not coming out. But Isis, you kind of had a theory of who, if she would have joined Game of Thrones, what the kind of perfect role she would play. Isis.
Yeah, I think it would be wonderful if she was actually on TV again. We haven't seen very much of her. She's enjoying her retirement. But I thought she could really partner up really well with Lady Olenna. They could be like, you know, besties / maybe girlfriend or something like that. And, you know, Lady Olenna is like, you know, bad cop. And then you have Angela Lansbury comes in, and she's like the good cop and everything. But they both want the same thing, and that's to go ahead and smash in Cersei's face. And so I just really felt like this was an awesome opportunity in casting. And again, this is just from a show watcher's perspective. I don't know anything about if Lady Olenna in the books has friends or not, or she's a lesbian or whatever. I just, to me, in my mind, I said – this could be something awesome, and I feel like now that it's out there, that and they've debunked it, saying that no, this is not happening or they're not in talks, but they may want to look at this, because I really feel like, you know, she still has a lot of work in her, and she could bring something to the table as far as Game of Thrones, and she would pair up so well with Rig as Lady Olenna, as her friend.
There still are some matronly parts out there she could play that would be perfect. But as much as I think it would be awesome for the show, I don't want to see Angela Lansbury come on Game of Thrones, because I love her so much. I adore her. She's part of my childhood. I used to grow up watching, like, I would sit in the living room and watch Murder, She Wrote with my parents, and I'd be like, you know, it was boring to me. I hated it. I wanted to watch G.I. Joe or Transformers, but my parents were watching, like, Murder, She Wrote, so I was like, okay, whatever. But now I remember that show, and it was kind of part of my childhood. I don't want to see her on Game of Thrones, where people are killing each other and there's full frontal nudity and dicks. So, like, I don't want to see that. I don't want Angela Lansbury involved with that. Just no. Anyway, by the way, I just want to throw this out here. So Isis, you think that the Queen of Thorns might be a lesbian? I mean, you don't know where she's. She could be swinging that way, huh?
I don't know.
The Queen of Thorns. She might be a lesbian.
Well, I mean, I'm not saying that she is, and I'm not saying anything whatsoever. I just said that's one way we could, you know, place Angela Lansbury and make her a very important figure in this whole game.
Can you imagine the melting down of the internet if they made Angela Lansbury Diana Riggs' lover on the show? Can you imagine?
It's the old Dumbledore swerve.
Dumbledore swerve.
Yeah, Dumbledore swerve.
That would be great. Anyway, let's move on. So we got some amazing – I'm not even going to get to the amazing casting news yet. Guess what, guys? We're returning to Seville to film Game of Thrones Season 7. So guess what that means?
Dorne.
Dun-da-da-da! Dorne!
Yeah.
We are headed back to Dorne, right, Annie?
Yeah, that's basically what that news means. We went to Seville in season 5. That was actually one of the first places that they filmed in Spain. And they filmed the Alcazar of Seville, which was basically the water gardens that everybody saw. They didn't go back there for season 6, and that was because we were basically being spared Dorne. This year we're going back, and we're actually going to a dockyard. Is one of the places that they'll be filming. So it looks like Dany and her fleet might actually be landing in Dorne after all.
Yeah. Nice. I actually, I'm not going to sing it, but in my head I just did Cruella de Vil, but film in Seville and made it evil. So
I wish you would sing that.
Nah, it's not happening. Next!
Anyway, let's get down to that amazing casting news that we got last week. Jim Broadbent, guys. Oscar-winning actor Jim Broadbent is joining the cast of Game of Thrones. If you're not familiar with this guy, then shame on you. But most notably for all you Harry Potter fans, he was Professor Slughorn. Am I right, Annie? Who is the editor in chief of Wizards and Whatnot?
Yes, he is. So basically, I wrote it in 3 different places at all the same time. Wic, Wizards, and Culturists all had Jim Broadbent posts from 3 different angles all at the same time when the news was announced.
That's amazing. I can't even, like, I'm so excited to have this guy on the show. It's like announcing
our first Oscar winner, right?
It is our first Oscar winner. Like, okay, first of all, Jonathan Pryce was a big name to come to the show, and I was really excited for Jonathan Pryce when they announced him and he became the High Sparrow. And then when Ian McShane was announced for a one-off, I was like ecstatic, like Deadwood, Pillars of Earth, all that kind of stuff. I was so excited to have Ian McShane. And now to add Jim Broadbent, it's like HBO and Game of Thrones really are hitting their like classic peak. Like 2 seasons left, and it's just like, hey, let's order all the expensive things off the expensive part of the menu. And I don't care. Let's just do it all. Like, let's go out and find the best actors to fill the weirdest roles. And I want to talk a little bit about where we might think Jim Broadbent might fit.
Before we do that, because I didn't know that he won an Oscar for Iris. I mean, I love the movie. I haven't seen it in several years, but I didn't know he won for that. That's great. But this role that he's probably playing, you know, none of us recommended Jim Broadbent, who played John Bailey, but Annie recommended Hugh Bonneville, who played young John Bailey in Iron.
Oh,
so
nice!
Does that mean I won the jersey?
Annie wins the Cupid doll.
So Annie had the closest. Annie had the closest pick, so she wins that round for sure.
I was closest without going over. I get to play in the game.
Ba 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 da! Spin that deal. All
right,
go ahead.
What's really cool about Jim Broadbent's role is there are so many things he could be doing on the show. We already know that there was that casting call for way back for like specific roles, and one was a priest in his 60s, I believe, who has a very imaginative face and posh accent, and that fits Jim Broadbent to a T. There's also other roles he could fill. He could be anything, actually. There's a lot of things he could do. So let's talk about that really quick. And I'll start the conversation right off the top of the bat. I wrote an article last week about who I think he might fill the role in. And I think he's going to be in Old Town, personally. I think he's going to be part of the Citadel. I think he's going to be kind of an amalgamation of characters, kind of like what Ian McShane was, a rolling up of a couple of characters. I think he's going to be like Archmaester Maywin, or Marwyn, who was this crazy magic guy at the Citadel, who in the books heads off towards Dany and her fleet, before she sails to go try to teach her the ways of Valyrian and all that stuff. And then I also think that he's going to be another combination of Corey, help me out here, the old Archmaester, the guy who does the rookery.
Peter O'Toole. Corey, sorry.
Yeah.
I forget his name, but, I mean, at that point, he's basically senile in the book.
Yeah.
And someone steals a key from him that, like, kind of like a skeleton key to the whole Citadel.
Jack and Hygar does.
Yes. Yes, Jack. I was trying not to spoil it for everybody, but, you know, if we want to go straight there. Yeah, I mean, I'm with you, though, definitely. I think he's going to be in the Citadel. As far as you know, how many of those maesters he plays, I think is probably up to debate, but I definitely think he's going to be the Grand Maester down there in the Citadel, and Sam will have a lot of interaction with him.
Can you imagine John Bradley and Jim Broadbent interacting with each other on a constant basis, Annie Bundle?
That would be awesome, but I have a question. Does that mean we're going to see the obsidian candles?
I hope so. Please, God.
See, I think that's why
Isis, those obsidian candles, you know what we're talking about, right?
Okay, so the obsidian candles
hang
are
on,
basically...
Hang on, I know what the obsidian candles do. Because
You reread it.
Zachary Binks lights one in...
Oh my God, I love...
Hocus Pocus, and it brings the witches back.
Oh my God.
A plus reference. But actually, what they are,
and that's it for Take the Black before he thrown his in on the high note. Good night, folks.
In the books, the obsidian candles basically are things that aren't capable of lighting, and it's basically made clear to us from people talking about them that they have started to be able to light again ever since the dragons came back into the world.
Yeah.
In Old Valyria, they used obsidian candles to... If you ever watched Lord of the Rings, the movie, they used that little like silver ball to talk to Sauron and Sauron. If you ever watched that movie, that's kind of like the obsidian candles. They use that to look way down sometimes.
Is this the thing? Because I've been reading these interesting recaps that go over like ancient history that's not even in the books, really.
Yeah.
Is that the thing where like people could communicate across the oceans?
Yes.
Okay, that was okay. All right, cool. So basically, Isis, it's like a cell phone.
Yeah.
But now that the dragons are back, there's signal again, 3G.
Yeah.
But this is why I was saying I don't know how many of the maesters that Jim Broadbent will actually be playing, because they'll definitely consolidate a couple. I just don't know if they're going to bring Marwyn into the picture, because he's kind of a loony, and he's into all the magic and stuff like that, and they've kind of strayed away from it a little bit on the show. So, I don't know.
I kind of disagree with you. I think in season 6 they went full magic.
They did, but I just don't know. I mean, like, I don't know how much Marwyn is going to add to the story, and at this point, I mean, you know, you've got so, we've only got, 13, 14 episodes left? So I just don't know that they're going to add that. I feel like he'll just be someone that just kind of tutors Sam at the Citadel and maybe helps him discover, whatever that vital information we all assume Sam's going to find there is.
A way to defeat the White Walkers.
Right, exactly. So I figure he's going to, that'll be probably his role. And I think he'll probably play a little more straight-laced than like either Marwyn or the guy that basically went senile. That we can't remember his name.
There's also another role that I kind of thought that Jim Broadbent would be great for, and that is old Lord Leighton Hightower. And he's the lord of Old Town, where the Citadel is. And in the books, he's never come out of his tower for like 10 years. He's hidden himself away in the tower. He's got a crazy daughter who dabbles in magic. She's kind of a witchy girl, and nobody's seen him in a long time. And this is kind of where I kind of think this might happen too.
I mean, I don't know. Because,
thanks for interrupting me, Corey, goddammit. Anyway, so like old Lord Hightower, he stays up in the Hightower, and he's got his crazy daughter locked up there with him. And I don't know if they would do is have somebody cast as a daughter, but it would be cool if they did. Anyway, in the books, the Reach, where the Tyrells are from, is being attacked by Euron Greyjoy and the Ironborn. And this is where I could see this actually happening, because in the books, Euron gets his fleet, and he sends his brother across to go get Dany and her dragons. Yara and all them, they don't go, because Theon's not even anywhere near there. He doesn't go. So Victarion Greyjoy, who's not in the show, goes across the Narrow Sea to get Dany. And then we have Euron and his men sail through the Reach where Highgarden is, and they attack the Shield Islands and rape, pillage, plunder, kill. And The Lord of the Reach, which is not on the show either, Willis Tyrell, which is a brother of Loras and Margaery, he's not on the show. He sends for help to Lord Hightower, and he's like, "Hey, please send us some help. We're dying here. We need help." And old Lord Hightower stays in his tower. He doesn't do it. He doesn't send help. Instead, he defers to his sons who are ruling Old Town. And basically, the Old Town kind of just like closes its gates and tries to stay safe. But I don't think that's going to work. So I could see here's what I see happening. If this is the choice they want to go with, if they want Jib Broadbent to be Lord Hightower, they could have him stay up in his tower and be all crazy, and they could have John Bradley as Sam go up to Hightower and talk to him for a little bit if they wanted to, interact with him and show him. They could also have Euron attack Old Town, and that would be a good way to bring things into play that way. Just my opinion. But
well, I'd like to see him just break out in song and dance, and specific sing like a virgin, like he did in Moulin Rouge. So, but that's just my own personal preference. I mean, there's been a lack of, you know, singing and dancing in this show, and I think he could really bring something to the table. Preferably cool. Singing like a virgin.
So does anybody think he's going to play the priest that might show up in King's Landing?
I do actually think that that's where he's really going to go. But I love these other theories. I think these other theories are great. But in all honesty, like, I don't see the Hightowers coming into play at all. Even though I will say that there is one location that we were looking at in Spain that's going to be filmed in October or November, where I was like, that could really be Highgarden. So, you know, we could go to Highgarden this season. Who knows? But I really kind of feel like the show is trying to consolidate at this point and not add. So, I really think that this is following the casting call that we saw, which is part of the other reason why I thought the Angela Lansbury rumor was ridiculous. Because, I mean, seriously, the only woman on the casting call is young and nubile and naked. I really think that this is something that we saw on that list. And I think it's the priest. And I think he's going to basically have to face down Cersei. And I kind of can't wait.
That would be amazing. All right, so moving on from Jim Broadbent, which we're all excited for, we got news a couple of weeks ago that there's going – and before I start this, this is going to be a heavy spoiler part of the show. So if you don't want to know a heavy, heavy spoiler for Season 7, please turn back now, turn off the podcast. It's your loss, but it's going to be a fun spoiler. 1, 2, 3, your spoiler warning has gone. At some point in Season 7, Daenerys will show up in King's Landing, like we all knew she would, right? We all knew she was going at some point be there. And this rumor we got shows that she will be standing over the Dragon Pit in King's Landing. Now, Corey Smith, you yourself have written 2 or 3 pieces on the possibility, what the Dragon Pit is, why she would be there, and all that. So take us through that particular piece of news.
Okay, so just, you know, the basics on the Dragon Pit is, we haven't seen it on the show, but it's basically one of the largest structures in King's Landing. It's currently in ruins, but in the past it was used to house all of the Targaryen dragons. Back in the day, all right, so, you know, basically the Dragon Pit was where they housed their dragons. Back in the day, they had anywhere from, you know, 3 or 4 all the way up to, you know, 12, 15 dragons. So they had to have some place to house them all. After the dragons died out, it basically fell into disuse and just kind of sat there. So, we have to remember Dany's never been to King's Landing. She left King's Landing in her mother's womb. So, you know, if she does make it back to King's Landing in season 7, you know, going to see some place that her ancestors used to house dragons makes a whole lot of sense. It could mean larger things, but it could just mean, you know, she simply taking a tour of the city and wants to see where her ancestors kept the dragons and, you know, maybe wants to put her dragons there.
I would think of it as a, she would go there and see it and be like, never again, I will never do this to my dragons.
Yeah.
I think she would tear it down. I think she would burn it to the ground.
Right. Because we have that on the show. The only comments we've had about it on the show have been some veiled comments about how the dragons that were housed there never grew to be as big in size as the ones that were never kept there. So, Yeah, I mean, that could definitely go there, too. So there's a lot of possibilities. I mean, I think the biggest one, obviously, is just that she gets back to King's Landing one way or another.
Isis, now that we know that Dany... We kind of always assumed it, but now that we know the fact that she will be in King's Landing from this rumor at some point, when do you think it's going to happen? Do you think it's going to happen early, mid, or end of the season?
You know, I want to say it's probably going to be mid, just for the fact that it'll give us some time. I mean, gosh, it's and when I say mid, I have to remember that this is going to be an abbreviated season. You know, they're calling
it's like episode 3.
Yeah. so I really, gosh, I don't know. I want to say mid, but if there's so much going on as far as build up, then, you know, they'll have to probably push it to the end. But I really want to say that they want to get this whole thing wrapped up with Cersei and Dany, the face-off, as I'm referring to it, and then make their way to the north so that way they can focus all their attention, you know, dealing with the White Walkers and stuff like that. So I want to say probably it's going to be either mid to close to the end, you know, maybe – three episodes before the end, that we'll probably get that face off. So, you know, we get a little bit of chance to enjoy it, and then we're off to the next thing to prep for the next season that we will have. I, that's just pure speculation on my point and my part,
course,
but
obviously.
I hope that we do that, just because I think that there needs to be some genuine buildup of the face off between Cersei and Dany. So that way the fans and you know, just strictly show watchers kind of enjoy it a little bit. You know, you want to see Cersei kind of, you know, her back against the wall, even though, you know, that her back's been against the wall a lot of times. But, you know, to see her back against the wall flailing, basically, it's going to, you know, we should get that joy out of that.
Corey Thone, what if this happens at the beginning of the season? She lands in Dorne, and boom, she flies right over to King's Landing and torches it, and Cersei's dead.
I don't know. I think that would be a little too fast, but I would really love for them to wrap it up. Like, a couple episodes in, have like a early season battle, and then, you know, as you get toward the end, I don't know. There's a lot of different ways they can go, but personally, I think that as cool as battles are, like Hardhome or Battle of the Bastards, whatever else, like those aren't what define the show. What defines the show is character development and great writing. So I really don't want them to get caught up in having to have these massive battles, because I'm not watching this, you know, for a Michael Bay show. Like, I'm watching this because of how well written it is, and where the development and the plot structure goes. So get that first battle over with, because honestly, I kind of think that it's pretty obvious Cersei's kind of drowning at this point. So there's no need to make her and Euron or whoever a whole season villain. You can finish that pretty quickly. And then really get into Dany being in King's Landing, dealing with like her past and you know, the dragon pit and all that crap. Like,
that's character development.
Have a question, because, you know, what this is sort of a thing I just thought of, you know, so they're getting back to King's Landing, right? And
right.
Tyrion is coming back with her to King's Landing.
Ooh.
Right? Tyrion, the evil imp who killed his father, who killed the king, who everyone in the plebeian down in the people think is the most evil creature ever to walk the earth. And he's her advisor. How is that going to play?
Well, but the other Lannister just blew up a giant church and killed
them. Oh, yeah. No. I absolutely think the fact that Cersei basically caused her own 9/11 in Westeros is totally a thing. And I don't discount that in the slightest. But I just, you know, the fact of the matter is we've cheered on the fact that Tyrion is the hand of the queen. And we're all like, you know, this is the guy who's going to make Dany behave. You know, he's the guy who basically is like her saint, her sensibility when she's like, I'm going to burn them all to the ground. Right, but the people don't know that. And
I kind of have a feeling that if Dany comes to King's Landing and liberates it without torching the entire place, People
she'll be
greeted
as liberators.
There'll be liberators, and people will be more apt to forgive Tyrion for regicide, even though he didn't actually do it, but he was convicted of it, and killing his father. So, like, people never liked – people hated Joffrey anyway, so
– No, they didn't know that they – no, they didn't hate Joffrey. That's just it. They hated Tyrion. They didn't hate Joffrey. They thought that play we saw in Braavos is how people saw –
oh, my God, you're right.
People
yeah, right.
saw Joffrey as this, nice young man, right?
Yeah, the statue.
We viewers hated Joffrey. You're right.
The statue
you're
of
right.
of Joffrey with the dead wolf. You know, like he's a conqueror. He was a hero. Yeah. You know, he was the prince. He was going to be their king forever and take them. And they didn't know that he was a psychopath, like Annie's saying. And I do think there's going to be some conflict there. But when it's all said and done, too. You know, the viewers, we know the real truth, and there might
and maybe
be...
maybe we'll just skip over that. You're right. They might just, like...
Maybe.
But I feel like that's got to be a plot point.
I just...
Yeah. I think it will be... Sorry, man. I'll let you go into that. I think it'll be reflected in the struggle that Jaime will have between his psychotic sister and his redeemed brother.
Oh,
like,
that's actually a pretty good idea. Okay, there we go. But you see, the thing is, it's just that it's, you know, one of the underlying themes in the books, and this is very much a book thing, much more than a TV show thing, is the politics of things and the optics, right? Like, it's one of, as a DC resident, it's part of one of the reasons why I fell madly in love with these books is because, you know, here in DC, it's all about freaking optics, right? And one of the things George Martin concentrated on was, you know, the reason Tyrion was such a terrible Hand of the King in season two is because he never thought about the optics, right? Mm. And so, like, I just feel like if the show doesn't go there, that they're losing a part of what makes this show really popular with a very specific segment of the population. One of the reasons why this show is huge in DC is because of things like that.
Well, I think you made a great point by saying people loved him, but there's also a counterpoint to that. The common folk loved him, and you know why? Because I remember rewatching the seasons. Marjorie made the common folk love him.
That's true. She was very good at optics.
She was very good at optics. But people in the court knew who Joffrey was. People in his court, they knew exactly what Joffrey was because they saw his everyday actions. They saw him strip Sansa down and have her beaten.
Right.
And they saw all that kind of stuff. So I think, my opinion, if Dany liberates King's Landing and does it in the most nonviolent way as possible, then people will see them as liberators. And I think Corey Stone's correct. I think the real conflict will be between Jaime coming to terms with forgiving his brother over the murder of their father and coming to grips with his psychotic sister. And Corey Smith, you wanted to say something.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't think there will be a battle of King's Landing. I think that it's going to mirror, you know, the flip side of how the Targaryens lost King's Landing, where the Lannisters were at the gates and, you know, basically came in. I think that it's going to be, obviously, Cersei on the throne, the Lannisters on the throne. The Targaryens are going to be there, and I think Cersei's going to be threatening to burn down or use wildfire or do something. And I think it's going to be Jaime that ends up killing Cersei, and I think we'll end up...
Oh, that's genius.
I think we'll end up with Dany taking King's Landing with, you know, without a shot fired sort of thing. I think that at that point, and again, I think this takes place at the end of the season, because I think throughout this next season, we're going to see Cersei go fully crazy. And I think everybody's going to turn against her. So when she finally does get offed by Jaime, or if it ends up being someone else, nobody's really going to shed a tear, and they're basically going to hand over the city to Dany. You know,
what a beautiful shot that would be of Jaime running a sword through Cersei's back,
and then sitting on the Iron Throne waiting for Dany to walk.
Oh
in.
My
right.
God,
right.
That would be so amazing.
The exact opposite.
Oh,
that's got chills.
So good. I love that, Corey. Can we knight him or something? Can we can we do something for him?
Can he not be a bastard anymore?
Still a bastard. I can be a squire.
Yes, there we go. Make him a squire.
Be a squire now. You're a squire. Corey Smith is now a squire.
What?
Get water.
Corey Smith is now Corey Thone Squire. Good job.
Good job.
That was a really good point, man. I'm glad you made it. That actually gave me chills. I've always wanted to see Jamie's reaction to Tyrion when they came back. Jamie, Bronn, and Tyrion's reunion is something I've longed to see for quite some time now.
Yeah.
Now, we've talked about this for a little while, but I want to talk about the fact that the cast of Game of Thrones is arriving in Belfast. Folks, it's happening. Game of Thrones Season 7 is officially underway filming. And you know what? It's awesome because the guy who plays the Mountain, and I'm going to butcher his name here, Hafþór Bjornsson.
Mm-hmm. Just call him Thor.
Thor. I'll just call him Thor. He posted a picture to his Instagram account last week in full Mountain makeup. The eyes, the makeup. I was excited to see that. That means the Mountain is ready to go and ready to play his part. I don't know how the Mountain is going to be taken down. Like, if Cersei's got to go down, the Mountain's got to go down first. Anybody care to hazard a guess who's going to take him down? Anybody? Bueller? Thone? Thone. Corey Thone, you tell me.
It will be the doctor guy that made him.
Qyburn.
And Qyburn will see the writing on the wall and betray Cersei.
Oh, my God, man. He's been so loyal to her, though, man. He
maybe. I don't know. The fun answer would be, say, what's his name, Grey Worm or something. Or maybe he just, maybe he goes down kind of like 1-1, just like fighting, taking on 100 guys and killing 50 of them, but... I don't know. I feel like
they're... unlike 1-1, the Mountain's got a suit of armor.
I don't want to get into that, but like I don't know. I think that the more logical answer is that Cersei doesn't actually control the Mountain. Someone like Qyburn or whoever does, and when shit's going down, Qyburn basically pulls him back and says, "Hey, let's go over here and not die." So.
That would be the perfect way to get our Clegane Bowl. Qyburn sees the writing on the wall. He tells the Mountain it's time to go. They leave King's Landing, and they run into the Brotherhood without banners.
Yeah, I mean...
with the Hound. Clegane Bowl confirmed!
Clegane Bowl is not happening.
Well, I have a question. Hey. Could it be that, Qyburn sees the writing on the wall and he orders the Mountain to kill Cersei to gain favor with Dany?
That would go against a huge thing in the books. And I know we're not in the books. I know the books, but they touched on it already in season 5 in the flashback with Cersei as young Cersei. It's the prophecy of the Valonqar.
Mm-hmm.
The prophecy says that Cersei has to die by the Valonqar. The Valonqar is translated from High Valyrian as younger brother.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it could be Jaime or Tyrion.
Right.
So that goes against everything that George R.
I mean, I know this is really... Does it have to be her younger brother?
Does it have to be her younger brother?
They make that clear a couple times. But
Clegane is an older brother.
But could it be the Hound? And then the Mountain's like, no, and they have a Clegane Bowl over Cersei's body?
Heaven's sake, you people are like desperate for Clegane Bowl.
I could totally see Qyburn, though, taking the Mountain and leaving. That kind of goes back to what I said, that if Cersei goes crazy all season, people, I think, are just going to start abandoning her, and I think she's got nobody left. And then she turns to Jaime. Oh.
Well, Thor, as we call him, was interviewed by, I believe it was a Swedish website, and he said, "I would love the Mountain to die by fighting a dragon, maybe killing one and then dying by another one." And of course, obviously, we know that Game of Thrones actors don't reveal spoilers. They have all these contracts and stuff. But how awesome would it be if Drogon just landed right in the middle? Like you got the Mountain fighting like a group of like Unsullied. They're all surrounding him with spears, and he's probably killed a few of them. And maybe Grey Worm's there, and he's probably wounded because the Mountain's a badass. And Drogon just lands right on top of him. Just lands right on top of the mountain and just bites him in half. That would just be a perfect ending for Gregor Clegane.
I kind of like Drogon just lands on him the way the house lands on the Wicked Witch of the East.
And all you see is his feet.
Yep.
I love it. But we do have other cast members arriving. We've seen Alfie Allen, Beyond Greyjoy, has joined Belfast. Did they say they've seen Jimma Whalen, Yara Greyjoy?
I don't remember if they've seen Yara. I know we've seen Sophie, we've seen Maisie, we've seen basically all the Starks. Bran, he posted to Instagram. He was actually hanging out with Dean Charles Chapman because he likes hanging out with the dead. He's good friends with the actor who played Odor, since the two of them were together for such a long time filming, so they hang out together regularly. But yeah, it's a little weird. Sometimes you look at his Instagram and it's like, Bran likes to hang out with the dead.
By the way, if you want to get a tearjerker for a moment, go watch Christian Nairn's last scene, wherever Isaac Hempstead Wright walks out and gives him a big round of applause and a hug after that big scene when he's holding the door. Oh my God, tearjerker. Anyway, there's a lot of cool things happening. We even saw like the back of Peter Dinklage, and we all assumed it was Peter Dinklage. It looked a lot like Peter Dinklage, like the hood over his head.
Oh yeah, that was at the airport. Somebody claimed they had seen him at the airport.
And we've seen a lot of actors just showing back up, so it's time for them to film their scenes, and we're getting really excited. Now, what would be really exciting for me, and I'm going to ask each one of you this, for me, what would be really exciting to see, which actor would be really exciting for you to show up? For me, I would love to hear that Tobias Menzies had showed up to do filming, because that would mean that Tully is going to be freed from the Frey dungeons, like I predicted, by Arya, and he's going to take Riverrun back. So I would love for somebody to spot Tobias Menzies in Belfast, and all of a sudden we get like some confirmation that he's filming Game of Thrones season 7.
I would love that too, but at this point he is going to start doing promotion for Underworld. Is it Underworld? Is that the movie?
Is it?
The vampire one, the one with
Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah,
so he's going to start,
you know, hot and heavy doing promotion for that movie. So I don't know if he even has time. I mean, it may be something that they will just go ahead and mention, you know, in passing, you know, in conversations with another character or something like that, that, you know, he went back to River Run or whatever the case may be. But, I mean, he's got a couple of projects in the hopper right now. I mean,
he still has to die on Outlander.
Well...
That's it.
Yes, that is absolutely true. He still has Outlander to do. That won't be very long, since Outlander just started filming again, and that will be an article on Culturist tomorrow. And so I think it's going to be really interesting what they'll have to play around with, you know, all these other exceptional actors who are busy doing other things. But I think Underworld is going to really, you know, this is going to be his role that could really propel him into, like, movie stardom, if everything works out okay for him. And so I think that's going to be his priority.
Corey Smith, who would you be excited to see arrive in Belfast at this point?
I mean, I like yours. I'd like to see Tobias, because hopefully they could wrap that up some way. But also, I'd like to see Ben Crompton, who plays Dolores Edd.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Because
that would be amazing.
Yeah, that would kind of show us that we're gonna get some more action at the wall, which we all kind of assume but don't necessarily know for a fact yet. So, I think that'd be a cool one. The dude who plays Sexy Jesus, I can't think of his name.
Steve Coogan.
His first name is Tom. Last name is Long and Polish.
Washala
or something. Yeah.
Because if we saw him show up, then obviously he might be doing, you know, Jack and Hagar's storyline from the books.
God,
that would be the big shocker one, that if we saw
that'd
him.
That'd be a huge shocker.
Yeah, because then we would see that obviously the Faceless Men aren't done with what's going on in Westeros, and, you know, they got something up their sleeve still. So that'd be my big one.
Annie, what about you?
That would be a big one that I would like to see, is whether or not we have the Faceless Men come back. Also, I'm curious about Sweet Robin and if we're going to go to the Erie. Some other ones I'm curious about is if we will, if to see if Diana Rigg shows up and if we're going to go to Highgarden, because I am really curious. There is a set, which I saw, which I was like, that looks like Highgarden to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a couple of places, you know. Oh, and, you know, Mira. I want to see Mira show up. Because, I mean, I assume that they're going to the wall, and that, but, you know, where do they go when they leave the wall? I you know, you guys all assume they're going to go to Winterfell, and maybe that's the right thing for them to do. But, you know, I'm still holding out hope that we go to the land of frogmen, and we go to Mira's home, and we see Howland Reed.
I want that so bad. I do.
So
if
there were any signs of that within the arrivals in Belfast, and honestly, I figure that right now what people are really arriving for are table reads more than it is filming, because that's usually what they do first. But yeah, that anything that would hint to those things would make me very excited.
Corey Thone, who would you love to see show at this point? Corey Thone.
Oh, sorry. Everything cut out. I couldn't hear a thing. I honestly, Annie took mine, Talon Reed. I just, seeing him in the flashback and knowing what he knows from Rob's message, and knowing that Rob declared in the heir to Winterfell and all that stuff, he's definitely high on the list. Plus, everything I've read about the people that live out there, the Reeds and the people in that swampy area, is super interesting to me. I'd love to see it on film, I guess, since Annie took that one.
Sorry.
It's okay. I'm trying to think of someone who I know.
What about Bella Ramsey as Lyanna Mormont?
Oh, you motherfucker.
Well, I just assumed she was going to be back. I mean, she's the...
Well, no, because there's always the chance that they decide, especially if they want to marry her to Jon Snow this season, that they'll age her up and they'll get a new actress. Hmm.
That would
suck. That would just suck, because she's such a great. I mean, she's just such a great little actress.
I mean, what if they decide to fast forward a year into the war that Dany's landed in, into Dorne, and it's already happened? What if they have to age up Bella a little bit, or age up the character Lyanna?
I don't know. I how about this? How about I'd like to see another ancient beast show up, like a kraken or something like that.
Ice dragon, you said
ice
it dragon, last time we talked
yeah,
about
ice kraken, whatever. We've got dragons and we got White Walkers, so we got air and ground. Let's have some sea monsters, man.
What about some ice spiders? They ride ice spiders in the book.
Do ice dragons fly commercial or do they fly private? Will we see them in the airport?
Oh my god!
I'm gonna throw things at you and demote.
You're getting demoted.
Demoted.
You're no longer a squire.
Back to bastard.
Back to Fleet Bottom with you.
I know you chimed in earlier, but did you have somebody besides Bella Ramsey you wanted to talk about?
Well, every time everybody was taking everything, I was like, okay, I had sexy Jesus written down, and then I was like, okay, shit, I gotta scratch that one out. And and literally sexy Jesus. And I was like, oh man, he's gonna say Mormont, and I was just like, okay, wait for it. And then you said it, I was like, motherfucker. Okay, so I'm gonna go with Jorah the Explorer.
Oh yes,
yeah, there we go.
We need to know what is going on with him. We last saw him on a quest to look for some kind of miracle cure from Miracle Max. And, you know, I want to know where what he is doing. I think it's time that we find out what he's doing. And then Gendry, I want to know where the fuck he
Gendry.
Is. What has he been eaten by a kraken? Will he just stumble upon Dany and she will scoop him up out of the water? You know, because he's been rowing his damn boat all this damn time. I mean, like, let's go ahead and basically put a pin in that fucking shit and
I have
move
a small
on.
Theory about that if you want to hear it really quick.
Uh-oh. Go for it. Hit me with it.
Davos told him to go back to King's Landing. He told him to go back to Flea Bottom. He said, keep the shore on your left, right? So what if Gendry actually went back to King's Landing and has been living in Flea Bottom this entire time, making a small trade as a blacksmith in King's Landing? And now that Cersei's in charge, and now that there's probably going to be like a war and a riot, all of a sudden Gendry shows up.
Because they need blacksmiths, because they need people to make weapons.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep. What if all of a sudden they go, okay, we need to make some weapons. Let's go see the blacksmith. And all of a sudden you hear that warm and fuzzy Game of Thrones feeling song that comes on, the da-na-na-na-na-na. And all of a sudden it's like Gendry, like, banging away on a blacksmith, whatever, hammer and
banging on a blacksmith hole. Hey. Is that what you said?
Hey, Razor. George Martin said that Arya and Gendry will meet again. And if Arya heads to King's Landing like we think she might, there you go.
Well, that would be awesome.
For me, I got one other couple other characters. I'd love to see Carice Van Houten show up. I know she's pregnant, right? Or has she had the baby already?
She had the baby.
She's on maternity leave for a little bit then. On maternity leave, so I'm not sure what role Melisandre will play in Season 7, if any at all. But I also, if we're going to talk about Jorah, and I'm glad you brought his name up,
yes.
Isis, I want to see Kaith, the actress who played Kaith.
Nobody knows who played Kaith.
I know, but I don't care. I just want them to say, we have the actress who played Kaith. She's showing up. Like, I want to see an announcement. Like, Kaith will be part of Season 7. Like, right. We always get those rumors. We always get those leaks. Like, Kaith will be part of Season 7. And if that happens, you can bet your ass it's because Jorah has gone to find the cure for Grayscale from her.
Can I throw Hot Pie in there? Like,
since you're bringing everyone back.
He's at the end of the crossroads, isn't he? Making Hot Pie.
Yeah, he's like, Arya could very well stop there to get to eat or something.
The only inn in the entire freaking country.
Yeah, basically so.
Hey, you know, we didn't even talk about our favorite ginger. We didn't even mention our favorite ginger.
Tormund.
Well, I want to see Tormund.
But I see him all the time. He's always on the weather map on television in the commercials.
Yeah, but I want to see him with his heart eye emojis, you know, looking at freaking Brienne. I want Brienne, to be honest. I want to see Brienne wrecking dicks and you know, fighting off advances from Tormund. That's what I'm here for.
Gwendolyn Christie has an empty slate, as far as I know, because she just wrapped finishing Star Wars Episode 8 as Captain Phasma, so she will be ready to film Game of Thrones. So hopefully we'll see some news about her and Pod showing up. Anyway, that's about an hour, folks. We filled an hour talking about a lot about nothing. Congratulations. That's Take the Black in a nutshell. Listen, it's good to be back.
How did we fit that?
Way to sell us.
No, I'm kidding. I love you guys, and I love talking about Game of Thrones. Listen, hopefully we'll be back next week. We're not going to start taking 2 weeks off. We won't do that. Don't worry. We'll be back with more news next week on Take the Black. I'm your host, Razor. I'm with Isis, Corey Thone, Annie Bundle, and the recently demoted Corey Smith.
Demoted and demoted.
Thanks for listening.